We're still in my favorite chapter. I hope it's going to be a real encouragement to you and probably the highlight of the whole Bible as far as I'm concerned. So we're taking our time through it. And you might be wondering why. I go fast through the sinful part, slow through the loving part, because I need to hear it too. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for your precious word, and we especially thank you for Romans 8, Lord. It's one blessing after another, and how needy we are to hear those blessings. Lord, you know how difficult life can be. You certainly walked this earth, and you dealt with people and sickness and illness and death. You wept over Jerusalem. You groaned at Lazarus' tomb. Oh, Lord, you've experienced everything that we have, and yet you still went to the cross. What an amazing Savior you are. Teach us, Lord. We're still before you. We want to hear your voice this morning, and we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wanted to review just a little bit here with 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What beautiful, beautiful words those are. No condemnation. God is not angry with any of us that are his children. And you say, well, you just don't know what I've done. And I can imagine. I've heard everything and anything. I could tell you stories that would make your hair fall out or your teeth fall out or something. But I know that perhaps you're still stewing over an abortion you've had. Maybe you had several abortions, and it bothers you a great deal. And I ask you, are you under the blood of Christ? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord. And then I said, well, take that troublesome thing to the Lord and ask him about it. What will the Lord say in return? He'll say, I have chosen to forget that. I have chosen to forgive that. And it's gone. No condemnation. You are not the Lord's enemy. You're his child. And he'll keep taking you to himself. How much he loves you. It's never bad dog. Now, I may say that to myself. I may do some blunder and think, bad dog, Liz. But he never says that. It's always drawing, always restorative. Well, how about that struggle? We looked at that struggle. Who was writing that? Paul was writing that, of all people. And he's telling you that he had a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And one thing I never touched upon is the devil. Well, yeah, he's around still. He likes to come and point out what a failure you are, or what a dumb thing you just did, or how could you be a Christian and do that? I mean, he's always there to trip us up, to make us look bad. And if you're questioning your salvation or have ever come to that place of questioning it, I say, take your Bible, open it up in the back, write on, take a pen that you can't erase, and write in there your name, and this day I gave myself to the Lord. I belong to him, and write down the date. And then when the devil comes along and says, well, you couldn't be a very good Christian or you wouldn't have done that, you can take him to the back of your Bible and say, see, on this day I gave my life to the Lord, and you can't condemn me. I belong to him, even though I may sin. God is working with me. And then walking in the Spirit, that's so lofty, that's so, you know, this or that. No, it's very simple. What do you focus on? but I got this big problem. Well, if you want to choose to focus on that big problem, lots of luck. Because the Lord is allowing that big problem so you'll focus on Him. Oh, never looked at it that way. No, trust, that's where trust is built. We're going to be looking at that quite a bit next week. Well, it doesn't appear what we're going to be, but one day we're all headed towards a great day. But it's not here yet. Oh, how we'd like to have it here. So we have to put up with difficulties and hardships and sufferings and maybe even our current situation, which is difficult. And I happen to notice, because I happen to fall into this, that we just keep aging. And it's not just age. I wrote down here, it's deterioration. These bodies can't go to heaven, in case you hadn't noticed. They're falling apart. We need a new one. When are we going to get that new one? When the Lord returns. Who gets it first? Those who've already died. Who gets it next? We do. And all of creation too. Can you imagine what a glorious moment that will be? Of course, some of us are deteriorating faster than others. I have that down. Me. But one day, since we're His children, we'll be co-heirs with His glory, with all that Christ has. And we're moving towards that great day. You say, well, how can we deserve that? We don't deserve it. But we're there by faith. We're there because we're His children. What a beautiful thought that is. Now, we must never get the idea that we earn glory. We don't earn glory. We don't earn it by our sufferings. We don't earn it by beating ourselves or kneeling on our knees and walking 100 feet. No, glory is given. It's a gift, and it's coming. But suffering right now is our inheritance in Christ. Suffering is a privilege. Yeah, right. Suffering is a privilege. It's committed to us. And you say to yourself, well, I didn't sign up for that. I remember a few times back when I was a new Christian, I used to give my badge back. I'd say, okay, Lord, I don't think I like this routine. Here's my badge back. And He says, you can't give it back. It's life itself. So since then, I've grown up a little bit. But Philippians 1:29 says, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Oh, yeah. Philippians 1:29. What a deal. I didn't sign up for it. Well, remember last year in Acts? My gosh, poor Paul. He really had so many struggles. But they rejoiced in their sufferings. Remember in the Philippian jail? They were in stocks. And what were they doing? Silas and Paul, they were singing hymns. And yet there they were in prison. And can you imagine singing hymns? And then there was an earthquake, and the guard was going to kill himself because all of the people could get out. Now that's the way I would have read it. Oh, the earthquake, doors open, time to leave. But everybody stayed in prison, and the guard was so smitten by it that he wanted to have the same Savior that Paul had and Silas. And he and his whole household were saved. It's just beautiful. Or how about the time that Peter was stuck into the farthest middle of this horrible prison? There was one guard and one gate and another guard and another gate, and he had guards all over. He had two guards on both sides of Peter. And Peter was in there really worried because the next day he was probably going to be killed. No, Peter was sound asleep. And the angel came in and had to shake him awake and took Peter out of the prison. He thought he was dreaming. I would have thought so too. And he finally finds the disciples. Remember Rhoda? Rhoda goes to the door to see who's knocking, and she says, it's Peter's spirit. And so finally they said, well, let him in. But these people always rejoice. We've got to get a grasp on that. You know, we don't like the things that happen, but how are we taking it? How are we doing? And Paul says it isn't even worth mentioning. That's why I stuck it in your lesson on all the things that Paul suffered. You know, greater labors, more imprisonments, countless beatings, near-death experiences, 5 times, 39 rods, 3 times with rods. One time he was stoned, and that's the time I believe that they actually killed him. And the Lord brought him back to life. He was 3 times shipwrecked. Then he spent a day and a night adrift must have been the Mediterranean Sea. Can you imagine? Just floating around on a log or something. And then robbers, his own people, Gentiles. He had it on and on. Sleepless nights, thirst, without food, cold exposure. And he was let down in a basket out of a city, and that really embarrassed him. He had a thorn finally given to him in the flesh. And he learned through all of that, all those experiences, when he was weak, then God could be strong in his life. Isn't that amazing? And yet Paul said, these things aren't worthy to be mentioned in comparison to the glory that's coming. That must be really something. Well, what's the deal? Well, the deal is that we have a 3-part salvation. We have our past salvation when we came to Christ initially. We have our present day salvation that we're working out. And we have a future salvation when we will receive our bodies back and be glorified along with Christ. It'll be so much glory, I don't think we'll be able to handle it. Well, all Christians suffer. There's no exceptions. And I was thinking about that. But I'm sure each of us would say, well, my suffering's worse. You know. And Paul keeps reminding us, don't even think about it. So if you're a true believer, a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, you will suffer. But we're not only given the privilege of suffering with him now, but also sharing with his glory that's to come. We can endure the suffering and even triumph in it because we see the glory that's to follow. What are those 2 proofs that we have? Well, one is when you came to Christ initially, God settled it in your heart, and you know that, you can count on that. And the other is when you look at nature and you realize how tragic all of nature is. They're suffering right along with us. And it's hard to believe until you go out and have to pull weeds and cut back your roses and plant things that the bugs eat. And then you begin to know. In spite of all that Paul went through, he says it's not even worthy to be mentioned. It's amazing. Just think about the incredible glory that God has planned for us. And I thought, how can we even get a grasp of that? And I think it's, if you think on something very beautiful that you've seen, maybe it's a waterfall, maybe it's the mountains, maybe it's the first snowfall, something very, very beautiful. And then that's what God created just now in our fallen world. Can you imagine what his glory will be like that will be coming? Just think on that beauty. That's the only way I can think about it. But it's an incredible glory that God has prepared for those who love him. Not because we're faithful, no. Not because we've earned it, no. But because we're co-heirs with Christ. It's a gift, and it's coming. Well, then we can look at creation. And how did creation get into this? Paul tells us it's a mess. My backyard's a mess right now. I know I got lots of work ahead of me. But if you really want to know when it happened, you can go to Genesis 3:17. It says, God then says to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Sounds like Ash Wednesday. It's coming up. But that's how all of creation got cursed. So when you get your hands hurt on thorns from your roses, or your back's hurting you because you're pulling out weeds, or you wondered why animals hate each other and try to eat each other. My cat brings one more large mouse home. I don't know. It, I'm getting so I don't feel sorry for him anymore. Oh, boy. But our lives consist of groans. So all of creation groans. Our lives consist of groans. Getting out of bed. Did you groan this morning? That's an effort. I have a stick now that I can turn off my oxygen machine, so I don't have to bend over. Can't bend in the morning, so we groan all the time. And I thought, what would it sound like if we were all groaning in here? Let's just try that. Just say groan, 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 moan, moan, groan, 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 groan. Yeah, now if you were God, could you put up with that? Because everything's groaning. Oh well. A lot of it's due to the ravages of sin in our lives. Nothing hurts more, does it, than someone to sin against you? It hurts. And it's hard to shake it off, but God knows all about that. We groan over disappointments, over bereavements, over sorrow. We groan physically and in our pain. We groan over our limitations. It's so difficult to lose function as you get older. It's difficult, and it. I was wondering about this, thinking on this, and I caught a quote from Ray Stedman's book on this. I finally called my daughter to see what she thought about it, because she's the music expert. Ray Stedman quoted, I don't know where he got this, but it's interesting. It'll give you something to think about. It says, someone has pointed out that all sounds of nature are in the minor key. Listen to the sighing of the wind. Listen to the roaring of the tide. Even most of the sounds of birds are in the minor key. All nature is singing, but it is singing a song of bondage. Yet it sings in hope, looking forward to the day, Paul says, when it will step into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Isn't that a thought? So the next time you go down where the tides are coming in and out, see what you hear. My daughter's got a very sensitive ear, and she questions that. And she thinks there's both keys out there in nature. But my ear isn't that sensitive, so I can't tell you. So something to challenge you about. Well, then we get into life consists of a great deal of groaning. I put three of these down for you, that one is creation, and the other is waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our bodies. And we'll be able to live and serve him forever. Won't that be a beautiful time? Meanwhile, we wait in hope. Now, I wanted to say something about that hope. Hope is an amazing word. Today, when we talk about hope, we think of hope as being hopeful. I'm hoping that will happen. But when you read it in Scripture, it always is referring to something that is tied in with the Word of God. So it's a sure thing. God can't lie. So if he says that we're going to get our bodies back, you can believe it. You can hope in that because it's a sure thing. It's based on God's Word. Very important. My middle name is Hope. And I looked it up for its meaning. It means it trusts in the future. I thought, oh, that's interesting. I didn't like it as a kid because they used to call me Betty Hopeless. Anyway, then we go on to the third one, where the Holy Spirit groans. And I like to remember that Jesus groaned and wept, and he still does today. You know, you think those tears that you shed in private, no one knows about, the Lord knows all about them, and he weeps with you. There are hard things. I could tell you stories, and I have no answers for, of terrible things that have happened to people. And I think, well, maybe we'll know when we get to heaven. And you know something? I don't think we'll care. We'll be so happy to be in heaven. I'll be so happy to be in heaven. That's all I'll be thinking about. But Jesus groaned. He wept over Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit within us prays for us with groanings. Because we don't always know how to pray, do we? You can come to before the Lord and you can think about him and you can not have any words because you're grieving inside. And you feel lost. But there the Holy Spirit can pray through you and keep you on track and keep you in the will of God. What an amazing spirit he is to live with inside us and to pray for us. Are those words? I don't know. I have no clue what he prays. It'll be interesting to find out someday. Well, the Holy Spirit groans with us and it feels the burdens of our weaknesses and suffering. And he prays for us and is groaning so that we might be led into the will of God. What is the will of God? It's just simply nothing contrary to Scripture. Nothing. So if you're looking for the will of God, just know the Word of God. That's why it's important to have a Bible study, so we can study the Word and know and hear from the Lord. We don't know always how to pray, and the Spirit can intercede for you. I think that's a very comforting thought, because you could even be upset with God, angry with God, and he can take that and he can turn that around. The Spirit shares the burden that you have. The believer never has to faint in times of suffering or trial, because we know that God is at work in the world and that God has a perfect plan. It's just not all helter-skelter, although it may seem like it. God has two purposes for our good and his glory. Do you think that's going to succeed? Oh, you better believe it's going to succeed. There's a couple of questions here that I thought were kind of interesting. One is the process of sanctification. I just wrote it down, is it a piece of cake? Yeah, I wish sanctification were a piece of cake and I could just gobble it up and be and be more saintly. It doesn't work that way. God takes us through hardships, sometimes a lot of pain, physical, mental, spiritual, can be all kinds of things. But it's always based on his word, and he's always with you. Remember, you're his child. There's no condemnation. He's got you by the hand. And these verses can help in that. My flesh, on my own, I can do nothing. I can't live according to the flesh. If I try to live according to the flesh, I'm going to be in big trouble. And how you walk according to the Spirit, you set your mind on things of the Spirit daily, sometimes moment by moment. And just remember that if we suffer, we will be glorified with him. Heirs of God, I have written in here also, keep going. The best is yet to come. Don't give up. Don't give up. I call them speed bumps. I've got about 6 speed bumps. 4 of them could kill me. Keep going. Okay. So, groan a lot? Yeah, I groan a lot. But I had something else here I wanted to add into it. Well, it's the will of God, isn't it? It's the bottom line. My thoughts or his thoughts? Or am I going to do it his way? I've learned the hard way to do it his way. We had a question come in the question box. It just says, were Paul's 39 stripes, 5 times the same kind of scourging that Jesus received before his crucifixion? Now, off the top of my head, I believe the 39 stripes was a Jewish concept. They couldn't do 40 because that would kill the individual. And the scourging, that was Roman. And I don't think they cared how many times they opened a man's back with scourging. Romans were ruthless. And so it was 2 different things, but neither very good. But I still think of the stoning. They dragged Paul out of town and left him for dead, and he may have been dead. So anyway, we get the best part of the chapter last for next week. It should be a blessing to your heart. And let's ask the Lord to take it home to us. Lord, some of these concepts are very lofty. But how grateful we all are that you pray within us when we can't pray. Perhaps we're even on a hospital bed, out cold. And yet your Spirit prays through us, that you have a purpose for everything, that you're accomplishing great things because you want us to be Christ-like. That's what you're conforming us to, the image of Christ. Lord, it just seems like that's a huge task, but I'm grateful for all the help. I'm grateful for your word, Lord, that encourages us along the way. I'm grateful for the glory that one day we'll share with you. And one day we'll be free of this world of sin and sorrow and suffering and pain and confusion. Lord, one day you will reign. What a day of glory that will be. Lord, we long for that day. Help us to see that, Lord, when we get down. Help us to know the best is yet to come. And we give you all the praise for all that you've accomplished, and that the best indeed is going to be in your presence, to be whole, to be fully human in God. What a joy that will be. Help each lady here, Lord. Some are really struggling, and we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.